mission that God has given us, our mission to make more and better followers of Jesus. And this mission isn't just something that the elder board or Pastor Randy came up with from himself or themselves. This is from the marching orders that our Lord Jesus gave us in the Great Commission. Jesus himself, after his resurrection, said this. He said, go to his church, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, Ken spoke about the first part of this mission, to make more followers of Jesus, more disciples of Jesus, becoming Jesus' disciple and being Jesus' disciple is what we call coming to Christ here at Stony. We've got those four words, come, connect, commit, and coach. You see them on the balcony when you walk in the front door. And Ken was talking about number one. If you missed that, you could always check out our website, stonycreek.church. And there's the video podcast, or if you just want to listen to it, maybe in the car, there's the audio podcast. You can get caught up on that first step. But today we're asking the question, what's the next step? A person trusts in Jesus as his or her Lord and Savior. They cross over from death to life, become a lifelong disciple of Jesus. What is the next step for them? Well, like our mission says, we're not just here to make more followers, but more and better followers of Jesus. And so they move into the next part of their relationship with Christ. Every Christian, from a new Christian to a well-seasoned, decades-old Christian, needs this next step. They need nourishment and exercise and love, encouragement and rest and training in order to grow as a believer, to grow as a disciple. Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And it takes some important nourishment. We call it here connecting with Christian living. It's that second step in our discipleship process that helps move us along the mission here. Connect with Christian living. In fact, our main idea, you want to write this down, guys. If you don't write anything else down, this is the one to write down. And remember, connect with Christian living to get what you need most to grow. It's another long main idea. We had a long one last week. I thought I could beat Ken, but in brevity, but I didn't do too good of a job. Connect with Christian living to get what you need most to grow. Last Sunday, we called coming to Christ, we called it our most urgent message. This week, we're talking about what we need most to grow, which is plugging into relationship with God and his people, connecting with Christian living. We've got a great example of it in Scripture, and not only are we going to read this and talk through this passage in Scripture, but we're going to do some of the stuff together that's in here. Imagine that. We won't just talk about it. We're going to do it, just like it says to do. Don't just read the Bible. Do what it says. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said that. And so we're going to do that. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. Now, I'll set the stage for you if you're not that familiar. The Apostle Peter has just given the very first public gospel presentation since Jesus' resurrection. And lots of people turned away from their sin. They repented and they put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then this is where it picks up. And this paints a beautiful picture of what connecting with Christian living looks like. So I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to dive in deep and look at it, you know, more closely. But let's read the whole thing first. It reads, beginning in verse 41, those who accepted his message, that's the gospel message Peter preached, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. this is an awesome, awesome passage that describes what the church family, the church community ought to look like. These are Jesus' followers building their relationship with God and with his people, with each other. And it says God is growing. God is growing that community. It's not a slick program that grows that community. It's God. He's growing this healthy, Christ-centered community. And so we want to look and observe three Christian life connections today. They're there on your outline. And we're going to talk through this passage by kind of grouping some things up into three basic categories. As we do it, let's consider, how am I contributing to this connection with Christian living here at the church? How am I doing it myself, in my life? I'm not asking you to consider how I do it. I'm saying you consider how you do it. Okay, I'll consider myself. Thank you very much. All right. Well, the first one is this. It's communication. First and foremost, communication. We talk about connection with God and his people. We're talking about a relationship. Christianity isn't just a worldview. It is a worldview, but it's not just a worldview or a set of, you know, a moral code, behaviors. First and foremost, it's a relationship. A relationship with our Creator through Christ, and a relationship with his people in his kingdom, in Jesus' kingdom. And of course, no relationship grows without communication. Second to Jesus in my life, my number one human relationship after him is my wife, Leah. Hey, there she is in the back. All right. Usually I drag her up to the front, but I see she took the opportunity. All right. Well, Leah and I have a great relationship, great marriage. I love her. I love her. I love her. She's even more important to me than my kids, and I would lay down in traffic for them. But it's crazy. There are days, sometimes even a week can go by, where we haven't really connected with one another. Sure, we've said, hey, are you bringing Ben to basketball, and I'll bring Ben to or Xander to Bible quizzing, and yeah, we've done that, you know, gone through the to-do list. We haven't really communicated with one another and connected. Doesn't mean that we're fighting. It doesn't mean we don't love each other anymore. We're not married, you know. But on the other hand, if we don't get back to communicating, a relationship can go south fast. Even such a great, solid one, like Leah's and mine. The same is true with our Lord. In fact, this might be the biggest area of struggle in most Christians' walk. You love God. You know he loves you. You even serve in a ministry. But you don't have that ongoing connection with him. And it doesn't mean God doesn't love you or you're not a Christian anymore. But you haven't been connecting with him personally and regularly. And eventually, that relationship can start to go sour. You can start to feel isolated. Where is God? He feels so far away. And you start to feel lonely, even though your Lord is right there with you. And it's because we've been missing that communication. In our passage today, in verse 42, it talks about this group of believers. It says they devoted themselves. Here it is. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then if you skip down a little bit, and to prayer. In your outline, you can fill in Bible and prayer. Because the apostles' teaching that was accompanied by signs and wonder, by miracles here, by God's power, that teaching that this people were devoted to, it's now contained for us in the New Testament, in the pages of the Bible. And every time we open up this book and read it, every single time, God is speaking. He is speaking to us. This is the Word of God. We get to hear from God. And as we hear and listen and obey his word, we will see his wonders, miracles, signs in our lives. We'll see what he wants to do in our lives. Of course, communication is a two-way street, right? You got to listen and you got to talk to build a relationship, to communicate. And so the other side of that is prayer. It says they were devoted to prayer. We get to hear God in his word. We actually get to hear God in prayer too, but prayer is when we get to express ourselves and talk to the creator of the universe. Think about the privilege that we have to have access to the God who created, that the God who created me is concerned about having a relationship with me. That blows me away. That blows me away. My problems are so little compared to God. Compared to the universe that he created even. And he's infinitely bigger than that. And yet he wants me to draw to him. You know, with Leah and I, if we're going through a little bit of a communication funk, maybe she notices that, and so she's like, you know, we got to talk, Chris, but I'm still kind of feeling a little distant. I'm clueless. Usually I'm the one that's clueless. And so she's trying to draw near to me, but I'm still not drawing near to her, you know, because I'm still a fallen guy. I'm a sinner, and I don't always notice that, oh, yeah, we have been kind of distant this week or something. With God, it doesn't work that way. When we draw near to God, he is always drawing near to us. He's always the perfect partner in the relationship. And so it's as easy as redevoting ourselves, recommitting ourselves to reading the Word. You know, there's no shortage of Bible reading programs. You've probably got one on your phone already. If you don't have a regular Bible reading program, we've even got some out at the Welcome Center. That's our Stony Creek Church daily Bible reading program. Brings you through the whole Bible in 2 years. And it's nice. It's only about a chapter or two a day, but you get some regular time listening to God speaking to you. And you can accompany that with prayer. We've done things like set your alarm. I still have it. I know the staff does. Maybe you do too. Your alarm set for 9/11. That's specifically to remind us to pray for revival, but you could set an alarm that just reminds you to drop what you're doing, spend time with God today, so that you don't miss it. You don't miss this important Christian life connection. The second Christian life connection we're going to look at this morning, you want to write it down, number two on your outline, is celebration. Celebration. This is a huge part of Christian living, celebrating who God is and what he's done, the things that he's done. That's what we do when we sing our songs of worship. We're celebrating. It's such a huge part, and we see it in a number of ways here. We'll look at three on your outline. The first one is the Sunday services. You want to write down services. It actually says, it reads, in the passage, every day, okay, there we go, every day, every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. They're meeting together every day. They're just getting organized here, right? And so daily they're meeting together to praise God, to pray, to worship, to fellowship, to do all of these things, to preach the gospel and hear the gospel, to be trained to obey Jesus and all the things he's commanded. As the church goes on over time, they begin meeting on Sundays. That becomes their main day. They call it the Lord's Day because that's the day that Jesus arose from the dead. And so every single Sunday they began meeting together, and we continue that tradition today. It's a time, you know, in this life we're constantly up against financial problems and relationship problems and sickness, and we mourn, and this world is hard. But every time we come together here on Sunday, we're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. And we've always got reason to have joy and to celebrate together. I've seen people bury a loved one on Saturday and then come with real joy, still mourning, still feeling that sadness from the day before of burying a loved one, but they come with joy because of the hope they have in our risen Lord and Savior. And this is so important. In order to grow, we need to continue to plug into this celebration, this resurrection celebration on Sundays. Jesus is alive. Jesus also gave us two more big ways to celebrate when we get together. And the first one that he gave is baptism. It's the next one on our outline. Baptism. It's right in the Great Commission that we read earlier. He said, go make disciples baptizing, and we see them doing it here in this passage. Look at this. It says right at the beginning, it was the first thing we read, those who accepted his message, the gospel message, were baptized. Were baptized. Now, instead of teaching about baptism, guess what we're going to do? We're going to do it. Let's just baptize some people, all right? And so I'm going to yield the floor to hearing testimonies from those that are getting baptized, and then Pastor Ken's going to come out and lead us in baptism. That's all the teaching we need. Let's just do it.
Before I had a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, I was lost. I grew up in a Christian family, but I wasn't spending any time with God. I was an unhappy, angry person who was growing up in a divorced family. I often let my emotions get the best of me and only made an effort to try and get away from them. Even though I knew about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, I still felt like my sins were unforgivable. I didn't stop feeling that way until I started growing closer to God. I started to read my Bible and pray more than ever before, and I could feel God drawing me closer to Him. I started to deal with some health issues and struggled a lot with the idea of not being able to create my own family in the future. I eventually gave the issue to God and put it in his hands. After 3 years of praying and trusting God, I was healed. That's what really made me run to Him and cemented my faith in Jesus Christ. Seeing God work in my life changed how I felt about everything. Now, even though I still struggle, I know and believe in my heart that I can truly be forgiven for my sins because of Jesus. I've learned to not lean on my own understanding, but to trust Him in whatever I do. I'm so excited for my future in Christ and feel extremely blessed for everything God has done for me. I now want to share the peace you can only find in Jesus and continue to devote my life to Christ in every way.
My faith journey began when I was very young. From my earliest memories, I can say that I've believed that God loves me, that Jesus loves me, and that He died on the cross for my sins and redemption. As long as I can remember, I've loved Christ. That began with my parents in regular prayer, reading the Bible stories and lessons, and the answering of the never-ending questions of a small child, and sending me to the schools that they did to grow up knowing Christ. But Jesus hasn't always been the main focus of my life. As I got older, I found distractions, for lack of a better word, things that would take my focus away from Jesus, like school and sports. I was a dedicated athlete and a decent student. Reflecting on that time in my life, there were two big things that really changed my faith. First, in the two sports I played, two of my coaches were devout Christians. I saw them both as mentors. They taught me to be thankful for what God has given me and has planned for me. One of those coaches would lead us in a prayer in which he would tell us to pray to God, thanking Him for the great opportunities that we were given. In the same prayer, he would tell us, don't pray for victory, pray for the strength and the will to carry out God's will. That has stuck with me ever since. So much so that I tell the kids that I coach the same thing. Another big impact on my faith was a retreat I went on that was sponsored by my high school, called Kairos. Over the course of this 4-day retreat, I heard the deep personal stories of some of my teachers and peers. And the highlight of each one of them was God's love in action in their lives. After hearing the stories, their stories, I sat in reflection on my own life. As I did, I began to truly see for the first time God's love in action in my own life. I felt a sensation filling me that I believe was the Holy Spirit watching over me. And it moved me so much that I broke down and began to cry. I didn't cry out of sadness, but out of an overwhelming sense of joy. After that, though, I hate to admit it, but I fell away from Christ for reasons I don't understand. For a time, I couldn't see God at work in my life. I felt a dark, tormenting emptiness inside me that I never experienced before. I tried filling the void with drinking, which ultimately made me feel worse. In that dark place, I felt hopeless. Until sitting alone in my bedroom, I was given a sudden urge to reach out and put my faith back in Christ, which I now know was God calling me back. And when I came back to Jesus, the void in me was filled with God's overwhelming love. And since God brought me back, I felt those same overwhelming feelings of joy and happiness come over me more and more. I want to share this with others. I feel called to help others open that void to God's love, and to help them see God's love in action in their lives.
January 14th, 2020 was the day I gave my life to Christ. I grew up just saying the words, I am a Christian, but I never had an example of what that truly looked like in my life or knew what that even meant. I knew that Jesus died for me and knew He supposedly loved me, but I never fully comprehended or accepted the true gift of salvation from the Father. For as long as I can remember, I've had struggles in my family life. I've watched my parents get divorced, I've watched my home be taken away from me, and be forced to fall asleep in the back of my dad's car. I've suffered abuse physically, mentally, verbally, and emotionally. I've had to fight before a judge at court to be granted freedom from my abuser. I can recall countless nights in my bed wishing that I was dead. So many times I asked Jesus to take my life so the suffering would be over. I have watched drinking steal relationships from me, and I had nothing to hold on to. From being homeless to abused to wishing my life was over, I have seen God literally save my life. Before I knew the Father, my opinion of him was saddening. I looked upon him as someone who didn't hear me as I prayed for him to take my life, and my opinion of him stemmed from how others treated me. I thought he didn't care about me as I suffered. But this all changed on January 14th. It was 7 months of me being grounded when I laid in my bed scrolling through YouTube, distracting myself as I always did, when I came across a sermon called Does God Love Me by Sadie Robertson. I saw a joy radiating from her when she preached the story of John 21, when Jesus asked Peter if Peter loved him. There was something radiating from her that I had never seen in my life before. The Holy Spirit was so clearly speaking through her, and the joy of the Lord was so evident in her heart. I knew in that moment, as I watched her preach the word of God, that I wanted whatever she had in her life, and I now know she has Jesus, and I do too. Jesus has not only saved me, but he has changed me. I now have a passionate desire to live, and I want to live to share the good news of Jesus. He has helped me to forgive people I thought I would hate forever, and I am a sinner, and a sinner that needs a Savior. And I no longer live in guilt or shame for the things I was once addicted to, but I now rest in the forgiveness of Jesus. I have hope in his name, and I'm not a victim of what I went through, but I am proof of God's faithfulness. And I want to get baptized to proclaim the faith I have in the Lord, to show how he has completely made me new. And I will forever devote my life to sharing the good news of Jesus. As I sat down and tried to write down all that God has done for me, I find it truly difficult to put into words how much I love him. I find it difficult to express how thankful I am that he saved me, because no matter how many times I say thank you, it'll never be enough for him dying on the cross for me. But I will spend the rest of my life thanking him and devoting my life to share the goodness of who he is.
Woo! How exciting. I love seeing these testimony videos. How amazing it is, right? To see just life change in individuals' lives. And as Chris already mentioned, this is a celebration, right? We're here to celebrate and to be excited of new life. Each of these individuals, Gabby, Jonathan, Anique, they have all shared of this amazing life change that they've had experiencing Jesus. You know, when we do baptism, it's a great picture. It's a symbol, if you would, of being dead to our sin and buried underwater, but being risen again. Just with Jesus, as he rose again from the grave, we rise again to new life. There's nothing magical here about the water or special about it really in any way. All it is a great representation to say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus. And this is me participating in the same ceremony, the same act that Jesus celebrated as well while he was here on earth. We get to participate with that together. So without waiting too much longer, let's invite Gabby to come down here and prepare for baptism. Exciting? Are you excited to get dunked? This is great. Why don't you stand over here on this side of me over here? Yeah, so this is Gabby. We heard your testimony. I love it. I love your story of just how Jesus has impacted your life. And I just simply want to ask you a couple questions. And the first is, as a public declaration of your faith, is do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, and that he rose again to give us eternal life? Yes. Excellent. And have you committed your life to following him forever?
Yes.
Excellent. Then because of your public declaration of faith, I'm going to baptize you. Step forward here. I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Woo! Watch your step. Excellent. Excellent. Now we're going to bring down Jonathan. Now Gabby and Jonathan are engaged to get married here in a few months, as the Lord allows. Jonathan, you can stand over here. Excellent. So again, just like we saw Gabby's testimony and her story, we saw your story. And I'm blown away to hear just your honesty and the depth of what Jesus has done in your life. And so in the same way, I'm going to ask you the same couple questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins, and that he rose again to give you eternal life?
Yes.
Excellent. Have you committed to following Jesus for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Excellent. Because of your public declaration of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Woo! Congratulations. Excellent, excellent. Now I'm going to bring down Anique, our final baptism candidate here. Anique, you can stand right over here. Welcome, welcome. In the same way, I know I've said this for the last two, but in the same way, it was just such powerful to hear how Jesus has impacted your life. And I'm so honored and blessed to be able to be here to baptize you. But let me ask you the same questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for your sins, and that he rose again to give you eternal life?
Yes.
Excellent. All right, and have you committed to following Jesus forever?
Yes.
Excellent. Because of your public declaration of faith here, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a celebration. I'm always so pumped up to see people be baptized and celebrate that new life. If perhaps you're here today and you're thinking, you know, hey, I want to get baptized. I want to make that step. I want to be part of the celebration. Would you just write baptism on your connection card? You can also do it online, my.stonycreek.church. There's a connection card there. And we would schedule to do a baptism class and get you on the schedule. We look at the scripture and it says, hey, when should you be baptized? As soon as you know Jesus, when you have a relationship with him, it's your chance to be baptized. And we would love to do that for you anytime. And so if you want to be baptized, you just write baptism and we'll get in contact with you. Would you pray with me for these three that were baptized and for the rest of the service? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much just for this celebration of new life. God, we thank you for the fact that we get to witness that together as family and friends here. And God, we pray that as today goes on and the excitement is high, God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to encourage and engage these three who were baptized today. Keep them excited, on fire for you. And God, we pray that more and more people come to know you as their Savior and take the step of baptism. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to Chris.
All right. Thanks, Ken. Excellent. I love Baptism Sunday. That's really Super Bowl Sunday for me. Well, what an exciting celebration. They did it in the early church right there in the New Testament. We're doing it today. And if you've never celebrated your new life in Christ by being baptized, take Ken's invitation, sign up on your connection card, put it in that box, and we'll schedule your baptism. It's an important Christian life connection. Another Christian life connection that Jesus gave us is communion. You remember we had an outline? Yeah, get that back out. Communion is another important, vital Christian life celebration. It's here twice in our passage. As we look through the life of the early church, we see it right here. Oh, I thought I was going to come up when I was talking about it. That's okay. There we go. It says, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And then later on in the next, as we skip down a little bit, go to the next slide. Thanks. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now this term, breaking bread in the New Testament, that's, of course, a reference to fellowship. People break bread together in fellowship. But it's also a reference to communion. The Lord himself gave us the communion table. We're going to celebrate communion. In fact, I invite the elders who are going to be helping us with serving communion. And Josh is going to
play some keys here in just a moment. The communion table, there's the bread, and we use juice rather than wine just to avoid, you know, any stumbling block for folks. But this bread and this juice here, they represent Jesus' broken body and poured out blood on the cross as he paid the penalty for our sin. So this celebration is more solemn, right? It's more of a somber, reflective celebration. It isn't the woohoo party that baptism is. We take it down a little bit and reflect. But the reason Jesus gave us this is so that at the center of our lives together, as a Christ community, we would keep this important message of the gospel, that our Lord died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, so that everyone who trusts in Jesus as Lord and Savior doesn't need to perish, doesn't need to stay dead and separated from God here on earth or in eternity called hell, but they can cross over to life in Christ. Here on earth, have a relationship with God, and into eternity called heaven. Jesus wants that to be at the heart of our community together. That's why we celebrate every month, we celebrate communion. We don't do it every Sunday because we want to avoid the temptation of just going through the motions with it. We want to make sure each time we celebrate it that it's special, that engages all the senses. We touch and smell and taste these elements, and we see and we read and hear the scripture. All five senses are engaged, and we want it to be special every time, and yet we want it to be regular. We don't want it to be a forgotten part that once in a while comes around, and so every month we commit to do it. So we're going to do this together, and Scripture teaches that we should reflect, spend some time in reflection before communion. The Apostle Paul said you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. And so as these elements pass around in a moment, we're going to take them and wait until we can all partake together. But use this time to do business with God. This is a great time at this celebration to do business with the Lord. Maybe you've got some confession that needs to happen, some recommitting that needs to happen. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I'm not a Christian. Well, you could. One thing you could do is just pass the elements by. Don't take part and say something about yourself that isn't true, okay? But even better than that, what I encourage you to do is today call on the Lord. Put your trust in Jesus today as your Lord and your Savior. And then this table is for you. It's a way you can seal that today, your relationship with Jesus, and begin that life connection in relationship with him. Let's pray, and then the elders will pass out the elements. Heavenly Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would meet with us here in these next few moments in a special and personal way, that each person here would be stirred by the Spirit to confess to you the things that they're keeping from you. That people here would be led by the Holy Spirit to commit to you the things you are calling them to do. I pray, Lord, for a person who has no relationship with Jesus yet, that your Spirit would stir and that he or she would finally make the decision to humble themselves, repent, turn away from their sin, and surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior. God, we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
the Apostle Paul wrote, "On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's remember our Lord together. Praise God. And then the scripture goes on to read in the same way. "He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it.'" Let's remember our Lord's poured out blood. Praise you, God. Praise God. Every time we partake in communion, we're keeping the gospel message at the heart of our church family, of our lives together as a Christ community. Such an important, important life connection, Christian life connection. Well, normally, that would be the end of a service on a communion Sunday, but do you believe there's still more outline left? Oh my goodness, Chris, you really wanted to do a sermon today, didn't you? Yeah, I did. I thought, what a great opportunity. It fit with the series to do these, to participate in the things talked about in the scripture. And so let's look at this last point together before we close our service with some more praise, another praise song. The third Christian life connection, the final one we're going to look at anyway today from this passage, is a caring community. You want to write down caring community. And when we look again at Acts chapter 2, we see that this passage has got so many references to a caring community. We might as well, you'll see. Remember, like with the last ones, there was a little bit of white here that I read and prayer, you know. But watch how much as we go through is all about this community caring for one another, caring for people. And so I'll read a couple of the highlights. It reads here, 3,000 were added to their number. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. Everyone was filled with awe. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold, look at this, it's practically all white. I don't even know why I grayed anything out. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is a loving community knitting itself together. They're knitting themselves together so that they can be counted together. They're devoted to doing life together. They're sharing with one another, sometimes at great cost, even selling property they may have to meet needs for each other. They're celebrating together like we've been doing here this morning. They're meeting in each other's homes. And again, at the end there, it's the Lord, not the slick program. Those are nice. I really like our screens. They're pretty slick. But that's not what grows a church. None of those grow a church. No, the Lord. The Lord grows his church when the church is healthy, when that community is loving. One of the biggest draws for people to go to church ought to be how much we love and care for one another. I know throughout the centuries, the church hasn't always had that reputation, but that's what we should be devoted to. They were devoted to fellowship with one another. We should be prioritizing this relationship with each other. And of course, that's impossible to do if you don't go to a church at all. How can you be plugged in with the community of believers? How can you be obeying any of this if you're not plugged in a church? But you guys are here, so I'm going to skip that sermon, all right, and go right to the next part, which is that it's still near impossible if all we do is attend on Sunday morning. If you just come in right before the music starts, or maybe even after the first song, and then leave the second it's done, or maybe during the last song, you're not connecting with people.
you're missing out on some connection with the Lord in the service, but you're also not connecting with his people. And so that's why we really prioritize smaller groups around the church. We've got a big small groups ministry. There's a group that meets every day of the week. Every day of the week has got a meeting of some small group. It might be a men's group or a women's group. There's Celebrate Recovery to help deal with hurts and habits and hangups. There's the MOPS, the Mothers of Preschool group that meets two Tuesday mornings per month. That was a little bit more of a tongue twister than I expected. We've got a young adult group that meets on Sunday. We've got, of course, the youth group, the student ministry. On top of that, we've got our connection nights, speaking of the student ministry, and we've got the adult class in there and the women's group that meets there and the kids' life. All of these things are designed to keep us connected with one another. You can't be close personal friends with everybody in this room, you know, over 100 people. That'd be very difficult. But when you meet together in somebody's house for prayer and Bible study, maybe around a meal or something, you get to know people. You get involved in their lives. And we encourage one another. And we celebrate the good times. And we rally around each other in the tough times. It's so important, if you're not connected, to get connected. But we also need to be welcoming to people. Jesus said, go out and make disciples, right? Not just stay here and hope they find you. We need to go out. And so, first of all, if you're at church and you notice a new face, be friendly. It's easy to be comfortable with your own group in the church, but we need to welcome others into that, okay? But also, we need to go out. That's why we're doing this Reach for the Streets effort. We started last year, and we want to just keep building and doing better. We haven't arrived. We haven't perfected anything. We want to keep getting better at going outside of these four walls. So this month, I want to give you an opportunity to participate in what we're doing for the quarter, the first quarter of the year. In March, next month, we're going to have a luncheon. You heard about it a little bit in the announcements, the welcome video. Well, we're doing a luncheon for 41 businesses in the community that we've partnered with in the past. We've already got a relationship with these guys. Now, it's not because they're businesses that we like them. It's people. It's people that own and run and work at these businesses. We're reaching out to people. Okay? And we've been partnering with them with like our Trunk or Treat and Meet the Bunny, but now we're going to have a thank you luncheon for them. It's at the end of March. And we want to, of course, thank them for their partnership. We want to share our desire to reach our community with the gospel. We're going to share the gospel message together. And we're going to get their opinion, their advice, their thoughts on how we can partner with them to help out our community in general. We really want to hear from them. We don't think we have all the answers. We want to hear from our community. And this is one of those steps. So that's March 29th, but prayer begins now. This is the last thing I want to share with you. I'm going to put up our my.stonycreek.church. Maybe you've heard of that. Maybe we've mentioned my.stonycreek.church at some point before. Well, if you go there, you can join our prayer team to be praying for these businesses and the people that work there. All right? The people that work there. You go to my.stonycreek.church, you click registrations. I made this so simple because I have people say, I don't know how to work that thing. I'm teaching you how to work that thing. So my.stonycreek.church, not stonycreek.church, my.stonycreek.church. You go there, you scroll down, and you get to registrations. Then you look for this sign right here, the Pray for Local Businesses. And when you click, you get to register for one of these 41 business. Oh, look. There's already, it's filled up. Nobody else is allowed to pray for Ace, all right? No, you can, but we won't know about it. You can't register. We wanted to spread it out, so I made it like, you know, five people per business kind of a thing. But scroll down and pick a business or two that you would commit to pray for daily. So when you have your daily time of Bible and prayer, you'll also add on to that, pray for the business, pray for the people, pray for their hearts to be drawn to the Lord. Pray for us to have a great partnership and relationship with them so that we can go out and really be a caring community to this neighborhood around us. All right, I encourage you to register for that. Now we're going to have the band come up for a closing song. We're going to wrap up our service with one more song of celebration. And this is our main idea. All right, so let's stand together and remember that we want to connect with Christian living to get what we need most to grow. Celebration is a big part of that. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing us together here today. What great celebrations we got to partake in this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would be a Christ community that is knitting ourselves together like the one we see in Acts chapter 2. Father, at this time, we also dedicate our offerings to you. Folks have given online. Folks give in that box at the back of the auditorium. Lord, however people are giving, it's an act of worship. It isn't paying you back for what you've done for us. We could never do that. It's worship and thanksgiving to you. We pray you'd bless that, and that every dime that comes in would be used to advance your kingdom, that it would be used to minister in the way you've called us to minister, to make more and better followers of Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's sing.